Welcome. Glad you guys are here with us this morning. I just wanted to start off. Last week we had a prayer night, and we had you guys filling out some cards with a bunch of different names of people, and there were 160 people that were prayed for by name, and I just think that's a really powerful thing. So I just wanted to let you guys know that, and I know that there's going to be just prayer continuing, and so just great job, and just thank you for letting us be a part of that as well. So we are now at the last week of this heart change series. So you probably all sitting back and you're like, my heart is just totally transformed. It's totally changed right now. Or we talked about like anger and greed and jealousy. And some of you are thinking like, no more, please. This has been enough. And thankfully today, what we're going to talk about, right? Jealousy, we're moving on. So anger and greed and guilt, they're all pretty heavy. But jealousy seems a little bit lighter, right? So you're like, oh, take a deep breath, you know. Because jealousy, it's one of these things that, you know, we might admit that we have a little bit of it, but, you know, it's one of those childish things that you just kind of grow out of, right? You know, we watch kids, everyone's seen this, they like look over at the toy that the other kid has and just give them a big slap, you know, like, so obviously, I mean, this jealousy and this envy can get the better of you, but, I mean, I was a kid, I mean, we've kind of grown past that now, we're a little bit more mature. And so I think when it comes to this topic of jealousy, I think it's one that you probably heard that we're talking about. You're like, oh, I don't struggle with this one as much. I kind of got this one sorted. And I think all of us kind of naturally approach the issue from that place. And because of that, I think that's why this is probably one of the sneakiest of the heart issues of all of the ones we're talking about. It has this ability to just kind of like weave its way into your life because we don't think it's that big or bad as all these other big bad ones. And so it's just this sneaky little thing. And so I found this video online that I think really personifies jealousy. So just check this out.
So this is where my uncle lives?
Yes, sir. For the last 35 years of his astonishing life.
Oh, you kind of snuck up on me there.
I am very, very sneaky, sir.
I see that.
Wow! You kind of just snuck up on me there, ma'am.
I fear you're underestimating the sneakiness, sir.
That's it. I fear you may underestimate the sneakiness, sir. I love that. Like, it just sticks in your head. And actually, I hope if this sticks in your head today, that jealousy is perhaps a little bit more sneaky, and then if we would walk out of here and all of us would not underestimate its sneakiness in our lives, I feel like we've succeeded in something. Because jealousy has this ability to just kind of sneak into our lives. And the reason why is because it's a heart issue. And the reason why it's a heart issue is it's really close and it's tied to what we desire, what we're after in our lives. In fact, the word for zeal and jealousy in the Bible, pretty much the same word. Like, zealousy, you could say, right? To zeal is, you know, to go after something with passion. And George was speaking about that a little bit with God, that you go after it with all you have. And we look at God's example of that, right? And God, you know, his heart, his love, he's able to relate to others with generosity. You know, he loves from a place of just really security and selflessness. And he looks out for the best interests of others, right? And with God, it's that kind of jealous love where he is able to make huge, huge, monstrous sacrifices for others' sake. He's able to just lay it all down on the line. And that's the kind of zeal, the kind of passion that God has. But I don't always have that same kind of passion. And my love and my desire and what I'm going after, sometimes it gets messed up and it can turn kind of sour. And we see sometimes how this passion can kind of turn maybe even into bitterness sometimes, or it can even turn into envy. And so I want to just start out by just defining this for us. What is jealousy? Okay, this is what jealousy is. Jealousy is being discontent and or bitter because someone has something that I don't. And envy, very close, a little bit different, but it's seeing what other people have and thinking we deserve it more than they do, right? And so jealousy is kind of more relationally oriented. Envy, it's kind of more after certain things, but they're also very, very closely connected. And they all have to do with this desire for something that we have. And it always kind of starts, right, for something that you don't have. Maybe it's a car, a house, a job. But it can lead you to despair because why? Because you don't have it. And if you had it, it would just make you that much more happy. And why me? Why don't I have it? Why am I so unlucky? And it can even lead you, at its worst, right, to despise the people that have the thing that you want. In fact, when I moved here, some people described to me Ireland, and I've actually seen it a little bit, as like a lobster pot. You guys ever heard this? Where like, as soon as somebody gets up to the surface, everybody just kind of pulls them back down. And who are you think you're up here? Let's get you back down and put you right back in your place. And it's actually kind of envy and jealousy that does that. It's at work. And envy and jealousy can actually be a really damaging and disastrous thing when it kind of erodes our security, and it can cause depression. It can bring us to a place where people would maybe even harm themselves, or it can actually get people to a place where they'd be in like an eating disorder because they're looking at others and this comparisons, and it gets them to this place where it actually kind of robs them of joy. And that's the thing that I want to point us to, is that this jealousy, don't underestimate its sneakiness, because it has this ability to kind of just find its way, just kind of sneaks in, finds a seat, sits there. And when it does, it's ignored. And when it does that, it can suck the joy out of your life. Okay? And this is what Proverbs 14:30 says this: a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. And it's kind of a colorful picture. It's actually a little disgusting, right? But what happens is that it kind of sets in there, and it erodes, and it begins to break down the very thing in our life that's supposed to give us stability, strength, right? That's supposed to provide security in our body, and it rots it down. And here's how this works. And I want to put this into some real life examples, because again, even for me, it's jealousy. I don't have jealousy. I'm not actually jealous. Okay, but here's how this works. Here's some real life examples. That TV, that's a nice TV. If I had that TV, like, I bet you they don't even use that TV that much. I mean, it's probably only greed that got them a TV that big. And you know what? They probably took out a loan to get it. I hope they have to pay back like triple whatever that thing is worth. And what? Wait, they got it on sale? And they didn't even tell me? I hope it explodes while they're watching it. Or maybe it's that job. You know, how did they get that good of a job? They're not even that smart. And now they think they're so much better than everyone. Must be nice. Or maybe it's that promotion that you didn't get, but they did. It's supposed to be my promotion. I deserve that promotion, and you're going to pick this guy? Or wow, they look so good in that outfit. But, I mean, if I was wearing that, I'd show maybe. If I look like that, I'd have a little bit more modesty, you know what I'm saying? Or sneaks in sometimes to our families. You know, maybe wives would look, you'd look at your husband, but then you'd see another husband and like, look how that man takes after, look how he looks after his wife. Why can't you be more like that? Or maybe husbands, you look over and you're like, ooh, look at her. And she takes care of that man. What? Couldn't you do that a little bit better? I mean, maybe cook me some nice meals every once in a while. Like, so we all be fine. Maybe it's with our kids, right? Your son, you're like, son, you need to up your game. I mean, look at the athleticism over here. You know, if you could just, why can't you be like that? Or why would you just do your homework? Those kids are doing their homework. Daughter, couldn't you just be a little smarter? Maybe read a little bit more? And we all have these things, right? We see them, and they're fueled by these comparisons. See, jealousy is fueled by comparison. But it's been said that the quickest way to kill something you love is to compare it to something else. Whew. It's like, wow. But I just kind of do this naturally. I don't even have to think about it. But the quickest way to kill something you love is to compare it to something else. Is there someone in your life that maybe feels like a failure because you're always comparing them to someone else? Or maybe you're always comparing yourself to someone else, and maybe you look like a failure. You feel like you're a failure because you're always looking at somebody else. And I don't measure up to that. See, the dangers of jealousy are real. And they just kind of sneak their way in. They don't present themselves to some big dangerous thing right at first. They kind of just work their way in, take a seat, and over time, they can just really erode and damage our relationships. And James 4, 1 through 3 puts it this way. This is what it says. It says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you can't get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. But you don't have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you might spend what you get on your pleasures." Now, we don't often associate like quarrels and fights as having come from jealousy, do we? I mean, I usually don't, but this verse is saying maybe they do. Or coveting. I mean, I hardly even notice myself coveting, but I certainly haven't murdered anyone. If any of you, don't tell me, you know. but right? Have you ever maybe noticed that someone else had something? If they had something you didn't have, and something bad happened to them, and you're kind of just secretly happy, like that. You mean you coveted, but you're just kind of secretly happy that something bad happened in that person's life. See, that's what jealousy does. It's just kind of subtle. It kind of sneaks in there. And maybe you didn't kill them, but you wouldn't be too sad if it happened, right? And it just kind of finds its way in, and it's dangerous. And what this verse also is pointing us to is that there's kind of a root to this problem. And all problems, right? And we've been talking about this throughout the series. There's kind of what happens on the surface, but then the root's kind of underneath. You can't always see it until you dig down, you pull it. And what this says is the root of our problem, it's not with the people we're comparing ourselves to. It isn't even with what we're coveting or the fact that we desire it. The root of the problem, according to this verse, it's actually with God. We don't have because you don't ask God, right? And it says even when you ask with the wrong motives to get it and to spend it all on yourself. And here's what we do this. We say, God, why, God, will you give me this? God, I deserve this. God, they don't deserve this, but look how I'm living my life. I'm trying to do this my best for you, God. Why wouldn't I have this? I should be able to be happy and have the things that bring me pleasure in life. And the root of jealousy way down there deep is this idea that God owes me. God, you owe me something. And we all do this. Now, we may not bring it down all the way to the root, but we all kind of feel owed something in life. And it's fueled by what? By our comparisons. We look around and we compare ourselves to others. Here's how this happens. This is an example. So let's say that you got somebody that they grew up in like a third world country. They make next to nothing and they land a minimum wage job. They are through the roof happy, right? They are absolutely overjoyed. I've actually seen sometimes this take place. But if you grew up and you were privileged enough to get a good education, you feel like you are owed a better job. And how do you do it? It's by comparison. Why is this person super happy and this person not so happy? And maybe you don't even believe in God. And maybe you don't feel like you're mad at him, but you're mad at whatever the highest authority that you recognize in your life. Maybe it's your parents that did you a disfavor. Or maybe you're really angry at the government. Like, I should get what I am owed. And the root of jealousy is found in this, that God owes me. And we all do it. We feel owed. And we decide what we're owed by looking around and comparing ourselves to others. We almost do it without even thinking. And most of the time today, though, we've spent talking about the ways that we do this, right, when we're comparing ourselves kind of down. And we think, man, why don't I have what they have? And when we compare ourselves down, we feel inferior. And what does it do? It erodes our security. And it can even damage our relationships with others. But other times, we compare ourselves up. And what happens then? We feel like we're superior. And we look around like, I'm not as bad as them. At least I'm not like that. And we feel superior. And what it does is it gives us a false sense of security. And both of these can be really dangerous, and both of them can actually really damage our relationships with others. But the root of the problem is they really damage our relationship with God. That we don't look to God and put our trust in him and find our security in that relationship. And instead, we're looking around and we do this. We don't have to think about it. We compare ourselves to others and we find our security there. And oftentimes we realize that our motives are off. And we all act like we're all noble. I do. But the truth is that sometimes when I pray, I am asking for the things that I desire and the thing that I want. And we focus in on those. And sure, I may spend most of what I want and what I earn on my family, but doesn't everyone do that? I mean, what's the problem? And the problem is a faith problem. When it comes down to it, it's that somebody owes me, and more importantly, that God owes me, and that we struggle to trust God. And I love this about Jesus, but he would always call people out on this. And he would do it in, like, fun ways, I think. He would say, like, you guys have no faith at all. But your faith is so small, you'd need, like, a magnifying glass to see it. And even the disciples, he would tell them, I mean, they're supposed to be these guys that have this great faith. And over, he'd be like, are you serious? You guys have any faith at all? You have zero faith. You have a faith problem. Look at the person next to you. You can dig them if you want. Like, you got a faith problem. But look up here. I got a faith problem. Now, look at yourself. You have a faith problem. We all have a faith problem. We all have little faith. And it boils down to a trust problem, right? That's what faith is. And so I want to tell a story that Jesus told to help bring this to life so you understand how this is kind of settled down in your heart. And Jesus told this story, and it's found in Matthew 20, 1 through 15. And if you want to read this yourself, go back, write that down. Read it yourself on your own time, because I'm just going to tell you this story. I want to kind of like make it real for you. And maybe you've heard this story before, but pretend you're hearing it for the first time and kind of respond to it, okay? So there was this farmer. And farmers, like, they act like they don't have all this stuff, but we know. They got it, right? They got it going on. And this farmer, let's see, he's got to hire some people. And so he goes out, and he's got to hire some people because it's harvest time, and he needs some people to help him pick his crops, right? And so he says, all right, well, he calls up a few fellas that he knows, and he says, hey, if you'll come out, and you'll start work early in the morning, crack of dawn, I will pay you 200 euros. And they're like, fantastic. We didn't have a job, and now we do. Woo. And so they come early in the morning. They all get started. They're working away. Time goes by. It's about 9-ish now, right? And the farmer, he says, you know what? We need some more people. If we're going to get this job done, I got to go get some more people. And so he goes out, and he finds a couple other people, and he says, hey, if you come and you work with us, I'll pay you a fair wage. And they say, fair enough. Boom, they hop on, they're all working together. Time goes by, they're working hard. I mean, you know what it's like after a hard day's work. It's tiring, especially like this, it's manual labor. So they're working away, and it's getting around 5-ish now. And he says, he looks over and he sees these other guys, and like, they don't have work. He says, you know what? Hey, if you guys want to come and help us finish the job, I'll tell you what, I'll pay you fair. And they say, great, back work. They come in, they start working, work for just a little bit longer, job's done. It's all finished. Payday. Time to get paid, right? And so the farmer gets all ready, and he calls up first the guys that were hired last, right? And he says, you know what? Thank you for your work. Here's 200. They're like, yeah. I mean, I worked for an hour, 200. Boom. And then he calls the other guys. They started work at 9, and he says, here you go, 200 quid. Each one of them passes it off. And then he calls the fellas that he knew early in the morning. It's time for them to get paid. And he pays them each 200 euros. And then they kind of walk away, and they're, I would be in there. I would do this. I'd be, what is going on? I mean, that's hardly fair. I mean, did you see what, they worked an hour, and they got paid the exact same as us. That is, and the farmer overhears them, and he walks over, and he says, what, guys, I mean, when we agreed on this at the beginning of the day, you were happy. Why aren't you happy now? What's it to you if I want to be generous and pay them the same? Why are you envious of my generosity? That I would look after them that started last first? Does that bother you? And Jesus ends the story. And Jesus always do this. He just tell this big old like bomb, and your heart's like, yeah, I'm angry too. This isn't fair. And then he just walks away, right? You got to deal with it. But what it tells me is that, man, that this isn't this isn't fair. God, this doesn't work. And I don't know about you, but I would be there with those. I would be grumbling. In fact, I have grumbled about these kind of things. Because this thing, it actually has a found a spot in my heart. It's actually there. There's a problem, and it's deep, and it's a real problem. And God wants us to deal with it. Because every minute that you spend wishing that you had someone else's life or something that someone else had is a minute that you spent wasting yours. And God wants us to experience more out of life than that, because he loves us and he wants what's best for us. But the struggle, and my struggle is there's times when I look at what God is doing in this world and even in my life, and I struggle. It's just not fair. And this is the thing that, this is kind of heavy, but if you try to fit God into your understanding of fairness, you will never trust God. You'll never have faith. Your faith will never grow. I mean, think about that. How often do we do that? Do you ever try and fit God and you're reading the Bible and you're like, well, that doesn't seem fair. Let's just move that over. I mean, we spend sometimes so much mental energy trying to bend these things and to our understanding and trying to fit them. And again, it's not wrong to struggle through things that we read in Scripture. Do. That's a good thing. I encourage you to do that. See, keep struggling through it. But realize that if you try to fit God, and if you always try to fit him into your understanding of fairness, it's going to stop you from ever trusting him. You're not going to trust him. Don't walk away not hearing that truth. It's so big. And the thing that we're struggling here is so much deeper than we realize, because jealousy is sneaky. And again, I hope that after hearing some of these things, and mainly Jesus' story, that's what does it for me, that you would not underestimate the sneakiness of jealousy. That you would give it the credit that it's due, and that you would learn to be on your guard against it in your life. And it's not easy to do. And I hope this stands as a warning for all of us. For me, it is. And Dermot did a great job this last week, you know, just focusing in on warnings that God gives us these things because he wants us to just be, to deal with them, because he wants what's best for us, and he wants to save us from what? From harm. He doesn't want us to go through the pain and the things that these would cause. And Dermot, I mean, he just brought that in a way that really just made it sit with me. And I'm just so grateful that God has gifted Dermot in the way that he has to lead this church. I am taken aback by that. And I also have to say, as a series, George, a few weeks ago when he was talking on anger, okay, I might have some anger issues every now and again, and George was just so honest about it that it helped me to like look at it a little bit differently. And so I just got to kind of, just thanks, George. And I'm just really thankful, too, that God's just gifted you in such incredible ways. And that just a while ago, like, Sarah has been doing such a good job up here at leading worship. And she's just stepped up into this role. And, I mean, last night we had this worship night. And I'm just so grateful for the way that God has gifted Sarah. And when we say these things, when we thank people, sometimes, I mean, Sarah's probably back to just stop it. Like, stop. Like, I know, like, sometimes it makes us feel uncomfortable when we're giving thanks, but I have to do these things because, to me, it's the only way that I can guard against this envy kind of sneaking in and finding a seat in my heart. And I'd encourage all of us to kind of put this into practice. Here's how you put this into practice. Go out of your way to celebrate publicly whatever threatens you privately. This is Andy Stanley. I'm stealing his words in this because it fits for me. But go out of your way. Means you have to actually do it, right? To celebrate publicly whatever threatens you privately. And I would maybe change the words in this just a little bit. Whatever has the potential to threaten you privately. I don't sit around and think, man, I'm just so envious of these people and get all insecure. But you guys, if you take this seriously, even those that you are have the potential to threaten you. You got to go out of your way to give them, to celebrate them, and to give them thanks publicly. And sometimes it's hard to do, and sometimes you're just not even thinking about doing it. You have to be intentional about it. And sometimes, too, it's going to make people feel uncomfortable, and it might make you feel uncomfortable, but watch and see what it does to your heart. Because Jesus, he talked about this over and over. It's all over in Scripture, just about just the power of just being thankful. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. And we just associate that, oh, just be thankful. You're supposed to be thankful. No, it actually says, give it. That you have to go out of your way to offer this. Go out of your way to celebrate publicly whatever threatens you privately. Because jealousy is sneaky. And we need to be on our guard against it so it doesn't find a seat in our hearts. Because it's found its way there. And we know that because we all struggle with this idea, why don't I get this? Why haven't you given that to me? That's not fair. I feel like you owe me. And the truth of the matter is God's love, it just isn't fair. And there's times when I'm like mad at that, but other times I'm like, thank God you're not fair. Because his grace is anything but fair. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve what Jesus did for us on the cross. I mean, it was absolute. He submitted himself to what? Injustice. He didn't deserve it. It was unfair. It's at the core of his message of love for us to battle against this thing that we all struggle with. God, you owe me. And you're going to come against things in your life where you're going to struggle with that. I know I have. And it causes me to grow in my faith. And I wasn't planning to share this last service, but I'll share it again because it's real, and maybe it'll make it real for you. But one of the ways I felt like God owed me is that there were, for a long time, my wife and I, we were really struggling to have a kid. It's hard to even say it still because it hurts, right? And we went through miscarriages, and I just was like, God, like, are you serious? I mean, there's all these people, I go to the maternity and people like smoking a cigarette and they're having babies. And I'm like, that's not fair. Like why can't I have a kid? And I felt like God owed me and I was mad at God. And God's grown me through that. But we've had these experiences and I don't know what it is for you, but there's going to be something. And God will allow you to experience this partly because he wants to grow your faith. He wants you to trust him even when it's not fair. And so that's my last challenge that I'll leave with you. And it's the same one Dermot asked last week, because sometimes our motives and our heart is off. And be honest with yourself. It's okay to admit that before God and just ask him, God, enlarge my heart. Help me to have your same heart. Help me to be able to celebrate others' blessings. Help me to be able to be just as happy when you bless somebody else as when you bless me. God, that would be so incredible. It would make me so much less selfish, but I need your help because I'm not there. And so pray that God would enlarge your heart. Pray with me. God, thank you for this week and just what you taught me as I was studying this, that I would just take this more seriously. And I just pray that you would just bless the other people here in their ability this week to kind of try and put this into practice in a way that's practical and to celebrate some people in their lives that maybe even threaten them. And God, that we would be able to live this out. And God, change our hearts. Bring us to the spot where we're able to trust you even when life isn't fair and we don't feel like it's fair to us. That we would trust you through that and that you would transform and change our hearts to be more like yours. That we would be able to sacrifice for others and we'd be able to celebrate for others when you bless them in their lives. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.